No questions?
Would you like to answer? But would you like to answer? Okay.
We know you have a question, Mr.
But maybe not now.
No, I know, like I know that if I keep asking, I will be sick.
What this
will be
answering?
The hot thing.
Yeah.
Okay, Constantine. Like, now, here we are sort of discussing Dhamma, yeah? But this is sort of not our daily life, yeah?
Not?
Oh, I meant that we do not spend sort of discussing Dhamma all the time. But we have to somehow do our duties outside this kind of environment, yeah? Mean that there may be a sort of, I know that, you may get angry, but I know that, I can see that there are sort of our mind frame of sort of Dhamma or thinking Dhamma and contemplating Dhamma, yeah? And then there is a sort of mind, a worldly mind frame.
So you know what is, how it goes like that?
Yeah, but...
yes. How? Why?
Yeah.
It has to be like that.
Yeah.
Because they are Dhamma, uncontrollable. Here we are, but we can think, there can be conditions for thinking about other things.
Mm.
Very daily, that, because they are all Dhamma, no you, no one at all.
Mm.
So that can be answer for every word in a sentence, like, not daily, or it is, by conditions, because they are all Dhamma.
Mm. So, in other words, if we think that if we have this kind of opportunities more often, yeah, that kind of thinking is motivated by attachment.
Or kusala, understanding what's the right conditions for having more understanding.
Yeah.
But when the question is just for you, then it is yoga.
Oh.
But when it's only for the sake of understanding, it's kusala.
Oh. Well, it's a very difficult part. It's very difficult to differentiate. If it's for the sake of right development of right understanding, it's okay. If for the sake of your own benefit, it's not good.
Right.
Oh my God.
Yeah. One can see more and more details, the subtlety of Dhamma, that they arise alternately. That's why it's so very difficult to pinpoint which one's which.
And some people might say if there wasn't studying Dhamma in the first place for you, then there may not be the understanding for the sake of understanding, because there's not enough understanding to appreciate that point. So can one say studying with the wrong purpose? By Paktu Upanisya Pachya may be conditioned for understanding with the right purpose, or if it's wrong purpose, just leads to more wrong purpose.
So now, what kind of kojara? We talk about three kinds. So now, what is the level of kojara? Upanisya kojara, because it would become more and more conditions to understand. But if we think about other things that we like, then that moment it is upanisya kojara as well. But it doesn't lead to moment of kusala, because when there is more and more understanding, it can be arakha kojara, protect one from wrong understanding and wrong practice.
He said if we think of things we like, it's also upanisya gotra, but doesn't lead to understanding.
Right.
I thought upanisya gotra only refers to right intellectual understanding.
Arakha.
Doesn't bring to arakha. Yeah. But if you think of things you like, it's
upanisya.
Are you saying it with kusala or akusala citta?
It depends, but usually if you don't talk about Dhamma, and there is like this line, then it is akusala,
but still, akusala. But still, upanisya-gotra.
It has to be, whatever arises can be that pakatu upanisya.
Yes, but before, like yesterday, when we were talking about upanisya-gotra leading to arakha-gotra and upanibandha, then it's just the kusala, right? Which but actually, lead, it can be kusala or akusala.
Yeah. And if the arakha will lead to the upanibandha gotra, which is so natural understanding of whatever appears. Because usually it can be arakha, protection, because it's the akusala of that object which is experienced more and more. So it's protect from akusala, only that. But by having more and more developed understanding, it would be natural understanding with awareness of whatever appears, and that is upanibandha kochara.
So to use the example Tadao gave, if there is listening for oneself, not just for the sake of understanding, one could say it's upanisya gotra then, but cannot lead to arakha because cannot lead to the development.
It will lead to more and more attachment.
More attachment, more clinging to self.
That's why Dhamma is so very subtle, that we have to study again on and on. Not just think that we understand that.
My understanding is like this. You said that for development of right understanding, for the sake of right understanding is okay, but for the sake of just with the idea that one would get benefit, that is not wholesome, I think the key word is expectation, expecting a result. If one expects...
Wanting a result.
Wanting a result, then one is on the wrong path.
Right.
If one just develop understanding for the sake of understanding without such expectation. Yeah?
Right, it's different.
Different,
And usually people think that they are on the right path, but actually it's not, because the lack of understanding of what's right.
And that is a lack of understanding is coupled with strong desire to get results.
Always there. Ignorance and attachment arise together. So whenever there is right understanding, no need to do anything, because it's a function of right understanding itself, only it, that can become detached from whatever appears.
Okay, it's not my understanding. It's not my right understanding. It's just the right understanding.
Right, right. And this is the beginning for this object to become natural, the upanibandha. Whatever appears, there can be conditions for understanding it as not me. Understanding is only a reality. It arises and falls away as other conditioned realities. This is the only way to eradicate the very deeply rooted idea of self.
Tadao, you mentioned earlier different mind states for different situations, and I think there's a risk that thinking in terms of these different mind states suggests that one kind of mind state is better for development and understanding than
exactly,
another.
Exactly.
But it's not that way at all.
So when there is idea of understanding that it's me, what is the protection?
No protection.
After that, there can be the understanding of that object as not self. Even its lobha or dosa, all realities are not self. Until then. But panya is not only that. It has to grow more and more until it is the realization of the Four Noble Truths. With right understanding all the way, with detachment too. So at any time there is attachment, it's wrong. Even intention to have awareness.
Oh yeah, in yes, yes. No, performing a kusala deed is a kusala. If we do such an action with a strong idea of I'm performing kusala, yeah? It's not really a different moment, but it's not really kusala. It's not really a pure form of kusala.
As you say, there can be different moments.
Yeah, yeah.
So is the teachings easy?
No, not easy.
You're praising the wisdom of Buddha.
Not easy in the sense that our understanding is not, no, conventional understanding, it's pariyatti is not accurate enough. For instance, I've learning recently that wrong understanding or notion of self is really a big hindrance. And before that, I didn't have, until recently, I didn't have that idea. I just thought that development of sati, sati or awareness is important. So it doesn't matter whether it's...
what's the purpose?
Yeah. It's just develop it. But I'm seeing that, no, it has to be more precise. When there is
more
a sati,
more precise. Like
yeah.
Some people may think they've heard enough details, so they don't need to hear or consider more.
Yeah.
But actually, because there are more and more subtle layers of ditti, wrong view, and lobha attachment to be known, if there's not the considering more and more carefully, those more subtle levels cannot be known, which are so common in a day.
I think that kind of thinking will help to become more, or to be aware of realities in more precise manner, because we somehow bunch together. Yeah?
Exactly.
And now I'm aware of such and such things. Yeah?
Mm.
But it's not really so. Yeah.
Nothing to do with awareness. Like many people or many teachers can talk about being aware in the present or aware at the present moment, but nothing to do with awareness or sati.
So, if one sees a reality as a reality, one can see non-self.
Not one.
Okay.
Great understanding.
Right understanding, we'll see non-self. Okay.
One to see.
Okay. Good.
And when you can understand what moment arises with awareness and right understanding, and at the moment when there's no right understanding and awareness at all.
We talk about seeing no self. I think it's dhammas that are seen as not self. Not this kind of not selfness.
It's not understanding or void or something, it's understanding.
There's no sort of concept.
Sound as not self, understanding, visible object as not
self. To be understood, just in the abstract.
You might say that you are not clinging to sound, right? But when there is no understanding of sound as a reality only, there is ignorance and attachment unknowingly. Remember, asava, oka, and yoka, always there, after seeing, hearing, smelling.
Very easy to forget about seeing in daily life, sound, that all the problems come back to citta now. Cindy was asking me this morning what the purpose is of the talking about and understanding more about realities, and we discussed how the purpose is in order to understand and eradicate the idea of self. How does that sound, Cindy?
Mm-hmm. It's purpose is to have the right mindset. which is the foundation for everything, for so my question after Tada would be, if there's no self, so it's just consciousness. Consciousness with conditions, accumulated conditions. So there's consciousness in this body, in that body, in that body, and they're all different, would you say so?
I think that just to know what is better than not knowing at all, only then. And one can see the benefit of understanding better and better.
And when you say the purpose is to have the right mindset, mm-hmm. what do you mean by the right mindset?
Right understanding.
Mm-hmm. And isn't it not for you?
Not for me, just the right way of living.
For you again, or not for you?
For everybody.
For everybody.
For human being.
For wholesome Dhamma. To have condition to arise. Without understanding, there are all wholesomenesses that it has conditions for its arising. But when there is understanding, it will lead to wholesome citta or consciousness. Why they are killing, stealing, and so on? Because of ignorance and the idea of self. But when there is more understanding, there is less attachment, less aversion, and less the idea of I. Then one can have more kusala.
And when you mentioned about consciousness, what you understand, because you've heard that there are just dhammas, no self, and you've heard about citta and consciousness, and when you say there's consciousness in this body, but what do you mean by in this body? What is this body?
Your answer would be the right.
Consciousness would be
different kinds
different,
of consciousness.
Yes, that's right.
Different kinds of consciousness.
And when you say it's in this body, what does it mean? It means that consciousness cannot arise outside of the body at all. It cannot arise here, but it has to be the rupa, as the base of the arising of consciousness. So now, where is the consciousness? We know that in this, right? But where is it? It arises and falls away all the time. But when we talk about just now, where is the consciousness? One at a time, in a moment only. It cannot be seen, it cannot be heard, but that is it. But where is it in the body? Can it be outside the body? Can or cannot? The consciousness.
I think when there is awareness, we cannot say that body is inside or outside, or consciousness is inside or outside of the body. We do not have that kind of concept.
Okay, why again?
Because body itself doesn't appear as a reality.
Because at that moment is the understanding of a characteristic.
When it's just seeing, no idea of body or here or there or in or out. Just citta that experiences.
But there must be a kind of rupa, which is the origination of seeing.
I'm wondering if your question was to the effect of, is this kind of discussion necessary? Or is it preparatory to some other, the actual development?
Yes, the latter.
Yeah,
yes.
Is it preparatory to the actual development? So you mean to get in the right frame of mind for practice?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what I meant.
Is it possible that when we're discussing at this level that there is actually a better understanding, though, of the way things are? Like, for example, we may not have really considered the fact that consciousness that experiences visible objects through the eye door is quite different from consciousness that experiences sound through the ear door, and that they are completely different kinds of experiences and different objects. So, because there is seeing now and hearing now, and we've heard that, and if we consider, we can consider whether that is in fact so. So, would that be perhaps a slightly better understanding of the way things are?
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan, I think the most difficult point for beginners or the beginner is, why do we have to see these things, like seeing a seeing, hearing a hearing? And often a beginner cannot see the point.
Relevance.
Relevance. Mm-hmm. Why is it, has it to do with Buddhism, mm-hmm. which we beginner supposed to be a sort of development of having a sort of wholesome mind, yeah? Beautiful mind. Mm.
And the answer?
Oh, you have to give us the answer.
You're going to give the answer?
No.
Because all these dhammas are taken for self.
Mm.
So it's always my seeing, my hearing.
Mm.
And it's only, and also it's not just visible object and audible object, it's things seen, people and things seen, voices heard, etc. So unless and until there is the awareness that sees these dhammas as they are, they will continue to be taken for what they are not. So even if we do have beautiful mind states and so forth, it doesn't help to eradicate the idea of self.
Still my beautiful mind state, or I'm experiencing with this beautiful mind state.
And what's wrong with having that kind of mindset?
Which mind state?
I've got a beautiful mind. What's wrong with having that idea?
Is one interested in understanding the truth, or is one interested in continuing life after life in ignorance and building up more attachment and clinging to this wrong idea of self? So it just depends whether there is interest enough to really understand the truth. And it's only by understanding the truth that defilements can ever be eradicated. So what the Buddha taught is the truth about this moment. And that's why if one studies other teachings that may seem similar and may talk about awareness and may talk about being enlightened, if there isn't a very clear explanation about precise realities at this moment as anatta, it can never lead out of samsara. It will just build more and more blocks. However beautiful the mind states may be or may seem to be.
So you are saying that the eradication of, total eradication of defilement is totally different from having sort of the so-called beautiful mind. It's not our aim at all.
No, like the people in the time of the Buddha, many, many people had attained the highest jhanas, like Sariputta, Moggallana, and so many, many, many others. But after, as Sajan said yesterday, after attaining highest jhanas, just object of attachment afterwards. So the cycle continues on and on. There may be rebirth in beautiful Brahma realms, but what about after that? Because attachment has not been eradicated. So the goal is not to have beautiful mind states. The goal is to understand the truth in order to eradicate defilements, beginning with wrong view.
And here's my question. Can we say that as long as we live in the world of concept, it's impossible for us to... No, it's impossible to eradicate defilements.
Who doesn't live in the world of concepts?
Yeah, okay. Could you just elaborate your what you said now?
Who doesn't live in the world of concepts?
So you are saying that everybody lives in the world of concept, yeah?
Yes.
So, seeing the world without concept, that is a reality of... No, the world of realities, yeah? Okay. Seeing the world without concept...
It's not, the aim is not to see the world without concepts.
Okay.
But the aim is not to take concepts for realities.
The aim is to understand, not to not have concepts. The Buddha, the Arahats, think about concepts. That's how they can distinguish people and live their daily life. So it's not a matter of getting rid of concepts, it's a matter of understanding realities. Just as it is as normal in daily life.
Understanding reality is not the same as seeing the world without concept.
There's no such
thing as world without concept.
Well, except at a moment. But that's now, a moment of seeing. There's no concept.
So,
I'm
saying that there is no world without concept. There is no such thing. Yeah?
There must be thinking of concepts.
Yeah, but when there is a awareness, of reality, momentary awareness of reality, say seeing as seeing, then at that time there is no concept. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But thinking will always follow seeing, even for the enlightened
being. That momentary moment, that moment of very precise awareness cannot be said or cannot be regarded as a world without concept or not.
Yes. A moment.
A moment.
A moment.
Yeah.
But generally we cannot say such thing as world, world without concept.
If there's any idea or aim to have less thinking of concepts, it's quite wrong.
Okay.
Wrong path again. Because it's not understanding reality that's conditioned as normal in daily life. So the aim is not to change anything or select anything, but to just understand what is normal at this moment, what is Dhamma at this moment.
So you are suggesting that reality should be seen as realities. Concept should be understood as just concept, no?
Right, not mistaken for reality.
Okay. Mm. But we cannot say that there are a world of realities, and there is the world of concepts.
It's different moments, like a moment of seeing visible object. Mm. It's the world of seeing which sees visible object. A moment of thinking, it's the world of thinking which thinks about a concept.
Thank you.
So usually one lives in the world of concept or reality?
Concept.
No moment of reality at all?
Rare. Not often.
What about seeing?
Seeing.
At moment of seeing, is there concept?
Concept appears, so...
No,
not at that moment.
No, I meant concept appears. Concept the sort of idea of what seeing sees appears very quickly.
Not together at the same time.
No, no, no. Right.
So one lives in the world of concept or reality in a day.
No, because reality do not appear as...
Yes, it appears, but no understanding.
Yeah, yeah, it do not appear to... No, we know that. If there are no visual object, then there won't be any visual object and no thing.
But visible object appears.
Yeah.
As visible object, yeah. But no understanding.
Yeah, exactly. It does appear to our right understanding. Yeah.
To seeing.
Just experience.
Experience with ignorance.
Otherwise, one cannot understand the difference, the different moments of experiencing visible object and concept of that which is seen.
So, say if somebody who did not know anything about Buddhism, anything on Satipatthana, and also have no real accumulation of sort of wisdom, see the world, just as they are, then can we not say that he or she lives in the world of concept?
Any experiencing of reality? Just like now. So regardless of whether we've heard the Buddha's teachings or not, regardless of whether a Buddha's ever appeared or not, seeing still sees visible object, a reality, hearing still hears sound. So the aim isn't to have any different kind of experience, but just understand what is experienced anyway with right understanding.
And if there is no thinking about object, can there be concept?
No. The point is that we are so used to seeing things or people whenever we see, we never pay attention to actual sort of a moment of seeing or hearing.
What you mean is we're so used to thinking immediately of people and things after seeing.
They seem arise together, but actually not that way.
Okay, there are different moments, I don't understand.
Even if it doesn't seem like that, still they are different.
But for ordinary people, seeing means seeing visual object. Here, visual object refer to conventional things, like people. And
if you ask an ordinary person what is seen, they will say a tissue box. But in reality, what is seen is that which is visible, and immediately there's an idea of tissue box. So just because there's no understanding doesn't mean that what is seen is anything different from what is seen if it's a Buddha with, or someone with a lot of right understanding. It's still what is visible that is seen, and it's still thinking which thinks about something.
Conventionally, can we not say that the person lives in the world of concepts?
Without understanding. Excuse me again?
Yeah. That person,
not only concept, because there is seeing, hearing.
So you can separate it.
So what world is now?
Pardon?
What world is now?
I live in the world of concept.
Where?
And
without?
And some moments of awareness.
No, and not some. At this moment, it's the concept. So you cannot say that only some. Any moment of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, there is no concept.
No. I do understand that point. But Deep doesn't see seeing as seeing. although the thing exists or visual object exists, but these realities do not appear to the VIP. So VIP take the all these realities and just putting all these things, grouping these realities together and adding lots of thinking, yeah? Then take the world as a world of concepts. No?
When there is no understanding, ignorance is there.
Yeah.
So there must be the world of realities and the world of concept.
Yes.
And when it's concept, it depends on what kind or what type of citta is there,
yeah.
Kusala or akusala. But ignorance is there, underlying.
So those who know the Buddha's teaching, yeah, can are able to separate, yeah? Or these are not concept, and these are concepts, yeah? But for most of us,
no idea.
No idea.
No so interest in what is reality.
So in that sense, can we say that they live in the world of concept?
Only?
No, because we can separate very clearly. So.
No matter what they say, but they cannot live just in the world of concept.
Okay.
So it's just the same with or without understanding.
What we can say is that what they take to be the world is concept.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think Ajahn's point is, and it's a very important one, that the world of realities is there too.
Yeah,
so it's not a question of going anywhere, doing anything. It's there.
Yeah.
Realities are there as well as concepts.
But it's so very difficult to understand moment of no concept.
Jonathan, could you repeat that phrase?
I don't know that I really like it now that I think about it. But what I said was what the ordinary person takes for being the world is the world of concepts.
Oh, yeah.
But you could equally, Ajahn, probably say that
no, I understand what Sarah is saying. In a Paramahansa sense, there is no thing as the world of concept. Mean that there is a world of concept and there are a world of realities.
At the moment of thinking,
yes,
the world
yes, mixing
of
together, yes.
No, but each moment it's different. So at the moment of thinking, it is a world of concepts that is experienced at that moment.
Yes.
But at a moment of seeing,
it's
the world of it's that which is visible that is appearing. So
when
it's
we mix these things together, there's a world of moments of reality, moments of
thinking of concepts. Yes.
Yeah, I do understand that.
Yeah.
But my point is, for most of us, for Bip, that the world of realities
knowledge of anything about reality.
So in a sense, they live in the world of concept. It's this description is not correct in the academic sense.
Yeah. Well, we could say that the concepts are taken for realities.
Yeah.
So when there's no understanding, concepts are taken for realities all day. Long.
Thank
people
you.
And things are taken to exist.
Because I'm having a hard time explaining this point in my articles. Oh, yeah. So I was totally wrong when I said that. And there is the world of concept. There is no such thing as the world of concept.
For a moment?
Yeah.
And one has to be precise.
Like
on Saturday someone said Jonathan sounded lawyerly when he was being precise, but the Dharma is very, very precise. And if one's thinking is not precise, it indicates there's some misunderstanding. The Buddha was very, very precise.
But if you are asked to explain sort of the essence of the Buddhism, yeah? Can you describe, are you able to describe the essence, describing both the world of realities and the world of concept, mean that you can you describe sort of the essence, sort of importance of developing understanding in the world of real. I'm contradicting. Sorry, I just ignore me.
Delete that.
The essence of the teachings is the truth about dharmas as anatta.
Yeah.
That is the essence.
Yeah.
And this is what is unique to the Buddha's teaching and is not taught by any other teachings anywhere.
But those people who do not know anything about Buddhism do not see realities.
No.
They only see things and people and cars and this.
Or even if they talk about seeing and hearing and visible object and sound, it's still I am seeing visible object that I've seen, if they haven't heard the Buddha's teachings.
So for those people, if I say that there is sort of a world without concept, yeah, is it the correct, or no, is that the sort of accurate?
No,
there is a world without concept, yeah? Though you guys live in the world of concept, there is a world without concept, and you have to see this world without concept. Is it a reasonable description? Or I don't think it's a very accurate description, but it's sort of a meaningful description.
It sounds, or it suggests to me that this, if you say you live in a world of concepts, but there's another world, it makes it sound like this other world is something that is only experienced by those who've studied the Buddha's teachings. But for everyone, it's the same. Seeing sees visible object 2,500 years ago or now or 5,000 years ago, before the Buddha's time, after. So it's not a matter of there being some other world that isn't experienced. It's not understood.
Okay, so it's rather dangerous description, eh? To say that misleading. Okay, thank you.
Rewrite
that section more. Good, yeah.
You studied the teachings of the Buddha?
Yeah. I do.
Are you now studying the truth of whatever appears?
Yeah.
Do you have to mention that it's the teachings of the Buddha at all?
Mm-hmm.
No matter who can understand whatever appears and can tell the truth of it, shouldn't we learn to understand whether it's true or not?
And it's the truth that can be tested and understood now.
For example, even very simple question like what is now appearing is true, because there is seeing, there is visible object, but what are they? See, without studying, no answer at all.
But the difficulty is it's hard to see.
Certainly.
Reality as a reality. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why we study. Otherwise, there's no way to understand it at all. So why does one study any object, any subject? Some study this and the other study that. But what about studying that which appears? Isn't it should be object of study or not? Even it appears, it needs studying to know the truth of it. Without accumulation, people cannot see the value of understanding whatever appears. Only to those who have accumulation to understand whatever appears will study more and more. And in the beginning, it is I who study, right? Mm. But after that, no I, because of the understanding of the teachings. And the result of studying reality right now is different from other subjects. The one who understands, can that be the wise one? And the one who does not understand can be the fool or ignorant one. So it depends on what you think, to be the fool or the wise.
No, wise try to be wise, but
stays
as for being fool.
Without studying, nobody is wise. For the question, what is seen, see, the fool cannot answer at all. The wise can.
But wise can answer with some level of realization, or one can answer based on some kind of study, mean that reading knowledge.
And the only way to know is by discussing.
If the answer is a mere repetition of book knowledge, then there's no wisdom involved, even though it might be correct.
But it's a sort of starting point in the beginning.
Only if we understand that it relates to the present moment.
I thought the repetition of the what we said at the end of yesterday's session, the merit, accumulating merit and so forth, what's the value of that?
Understanding the truth of that moment.
Well, when we're just saying the words.
Yeah. What citta is there which says?
Pardon?
What kind of citta is there at moment of saying?
Well, it depends, doesn't it?
That's why there's.
Because I mean, many years ago, that wasn't something that seemed to end a session.
If you don't know what it's about, it's the first time you've heard it, then they're probably.
No, it isn't the first time I've had it, but I was just thinking about kusala, accumulation of a kusala, as I was listening to this, and the only way to accumulate more kusala is really to pursue, to study the moment and develop more sati and panya. But the merit, and so I was just contemplating this in a conceptual way.
So right understanding should understand that very moment, whether it is kusala, understanding what is there, or not understanding why we recite.
I'm not so clear. From
depending on citta, right?
Yeah.
When you.
So you think it can condition
the others kusala.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's by letting them know or share.
The other ones in the room, not the ones that were...
It depends, because in some planes, those people who were born there can understand.
Like some devas may be able to...
Okay.
Maybe.
Unseen.
The doggies.
Beings. Yeah?
Okay.
I think it's more for the people who are not physically present in joining, taking part in the on the occasion.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Because they...
Otherwise they know already. They know. We don't have to say anything. For example, all of us here have kusala citta, right?
Occasionally. Not yeah, as much as I'd yeah. like.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's quite an assumption.
We don't need to share because they heard about this. Mm. So it depends on their citta.
So it's really more for the benefit of those beings who are not present.
Who are not here.
Mm,
and who can acknowledge the good deeds.
Did anybody get an acknowledgement yesterday? I didn't get one. My hearing was... okay. Yeah. I think I've asked this question about 4 years ago at the Munati, but I forgot. Anyway, further on about accumulating kusala, anything Ajahn would like to say to would be appreciated about that.
There are 10...
Any shortcuts that you've just come up with?
How can one know that citta is kusala at that moment, see? Because there are 10 kinds of kusala kamma, pata, 3 of dana at moment of giving, or when after giving, we know that the other might rejoice, and that is patidana.
And that is what this is. Uh-huh. There's the sharing of merit, yeah. Patidana,
that particular patidana,
giving others food. An opportunity to benefit. And it doesn't matter how many or if any, because there's that intention, that's all.
And at moment of being rejoiced, at that moment, it is another kind of kusala, rejoice in the other's good deeds. So even just moment of dana can be, after that, extend the merit or sharing merit. And the person who rejoices, it's another kind of kusala, arising from hearing about it or knowing about
like
it.
Like when one anumodana another person.
So no expectation whether who will or who will not. But kusala citta at that moment condition the sharing of kusala
citta. And it's a bit like if there is some good deed mentioning it so others have an opportunity to rejoice it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
More. Well, like I said recently, my dana has been interestingly used against me. So, come to think about it sometimes, you know? But that's just misunderstanding on the other person's part.
Yeah, problem with dana is that
the right gift.
Yeah, we often give something with expectation.
Mostly.
Yeah, mostly. It's not really done.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or any minding about the result or the appreciation.
I often used to do is like, please treat me well, Dana.
Please treat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise?
Oh, so it's not a dana at all, but it takes time to realize that, this is not really a wholesome dana. It's a small amount of sort of wholesomeness, but it's not for the sake of giving something for the sake of
when it's real dana, there's no minding about the result or expectation at all.
And when there's small understanding, you see that it's not me. No expectation for the result.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't.
Because we understand Dhamma, which is the cause, and Dhamma, which is the result, no one there. In order to clean up the citta, which is so very dirty, nowhere else, only kusala, especially understanding.
Can I go back to Nina's previous question about anumodana? like spreading sort of we recite passages after our Dhamma session. And this is the question I asked you last time, but still I cannot get it. And that is, say, I'd like to sort of send my merit to Alan, yeah? But Alan is not there, nowhere in this world, yeah? Yeah?
But anywhere, once he was.
Oh. But,
but if he was born animal, oh. Nowhere to send that.
Oh.
Because
so we have no idea of where or what or whether, but it doesn't matter.
So suppose that he was reborn as a deva, who can see this world, then can he rejoice my son?
Maybe.
Okay.
Another, the third type of kusala dhamma concerning dana, giving, sharing, and then appreciate or rejoice.
Yeah.
Even you don't mention his name, he can rejoice.
Can he rejoice because he probably he doesn't have any
when he when he knows only when he knows he can. But if he doesn't know, how can he rejoice?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Where is he? Where are you? Anyway, we can have kusala citta. Sharing the kusala kamma to those who'd be appreciated.
Though he was Alan and he's not Alan anymore. Mm-hmm. He's still
mm-hmm. Okay. If he knows, that's the case. So
you.
In case of he could appreciate by knowing about this. And if you have the idea that I would like him to know and appreciate, it's impossible. It's a kusala, clinging to the dana and clinging to the person.
Clinging to the result.
Or in other words, let him rejoice my deed. And mean that I shouldn't expect him to rejoice my deed.
Like when you give any gift, may they benefit. That's it.
Basically, you're saying let him know about Michael's work so that he may rejoice.
So, citation is sort of one condition. Can I say that? For somebody.
If you sit still, no words, can anybody know about that?
I'm not sure.
That's why only thinking is not enough. So now what kind of kojara again? Now. Upanisya kojara. Little by little. Until it can be moment of protection when there is condition for its arising. Until it's the natural be object of awareness and understanding, which is the last one, Upanibandha Kojara.
You said yesterday that the word Gotra is used because we talk about the Buddha's Gotra, the object of right understanding, and this is why it's Gotra, not Aramana, and when it's Upanisya Gotra, the object which can be understood. But when we started today, you talked about Upanisya Gotra, what one likes can be object of attachment but cannot lead to Araka or protection. In that case, can one still say it's Buddha's Gotra?
Because you see that it does not depend on words. For example, when we talk about daily object, it's called Gotra.
Yes.
So only seven rupa are the Gotra in daily life, like seeing, visible object, hearing sound. But when we talk on the in another aspect,
It's just talking about the reality, which is experience, which can be understood or not understood.
Which can be protection.
Yeah.
And which can be higher than that natural object of awareness and right understanding.
Right. So when we talked about the Buddha's Gotra, it is the objects which can be understood because they are the realities.
Because it's usually the object of Buddha and the wise one.
Right.
Even it's the same visible object or sound.
Yeah.
But it depends at that moment whether it's right daily life or with more understanding as Upanisaya, by little, to become that which can protect one from having akusala until it's more than that, as natural object for awareness.
Direct understanding.
On and off, right now, with understanding. Even objects, see, many aspects. So the question is whether now, what kind of Gotra?
Upanisaya.
Upanisaya and?
Araka, if it's...
Araka, yeah. And if there are conditions.
Upanibandha.
Upanibandha. With our development of understanding, it cannot be the Upanibandha at all. Because it has to be very natural, like usual. But it is the object of awareness and right understanding. Natural object. So no need to do anything but to understand whatever appears. Even at moment of reaching out a hand or any time, realities are there to be studied as no self at all. And that is Upanibandha, Gotra. So only Panya can see whether it is or whether it's not. If there is awareness and understanding right now, it is Upanibandha, very natural. No I who regret not to have kusala moment.
That is an interesting point, because whenever there is satya, then my first thought is, oh, I haven't got satya for such and such long period of time. And that is aksale.
No understanding. The anatta-ness, it has to be that way. So Panya does not regret.
And what's gone is gone. It's gone completely. Any sati gone completely.
So Panya is not there. But when Panya is there, no I, only a reality right then. Even sorrow or regret can be object of understanding until all are dhammas. So it conforms with the first word of the teaching, never change. All dhammas are anatta. So one can see that Panya saves one from danger. Is there danger now? What kind?
Not seeing reality as they are.
Akusala, yeah.
So from what you've said just before, if somebody asked, just I did at the beginning of this session, whether it's beneficial to have a mindset of Dhamma mindset, yeah? Which is away from the daily mindset, yeah? That's totally wrong, yeah?
Clinging.
So if one doesn't study the teachings carefully, can there be understanding of the very subtle attachment?
Okay.
And if Vanya does not see it as it is, the attachment still go on.
What do you mean by Dhamma mindset?
Okay, I'll give you examples. When I'm doing, I'm teaching in my class, no sati at all.
Dhamma at that moment.
When I'm lying there on my bed, there's seriously more moments of so sati. So my idea is better not teach. I should lie down for 24 hours a day.
Another trap.
And it's like going into a forest trap.
And if Panya does not understand that, see, nowhere to be freed from attachment, which is the big boss.
If one doesn't have that kind of mindset, there may be a more opportunity for sati to arise even in the busiest activities.
If one doesn't think in terms of mindsets, not just in terms of realities. Because for everyone there are situations. Mm. You know, in Vietnam we had questions about sati in the workplace, sati in the social environment. Mm. Sati in this kind of thing and that, so, and it's all just the same kind of idea that some situations are better than others.
And it's all about trying to have more sati for me.
It means that there is no right understanding of Panya at all. Panya can understand everything.
Like one lady mentioned that before she was sort of friendly and chatty, but now she's not because she thinks there shouldn't be any conversation that isn't about Dharma, and so now she's very serious and people think she's very not friendly anymore, but it's all wrong understanding.
Because she's locked.
Locked.
By ignorance and attachment.
Locked.
Ignorance and attachment.
Yoga, yoked. Trying to avoid akusala and thinking this is the way or this is the situation, but it's sila bhata paramasa, it's a kind of way of practice.
But having no sila at all is also a type of sila bhata paramasa, isn't it? If I have an idea that, there's no reason to have any sila.
Yoke.
It doesn't matter if there's killing because it's conditioned dharma and anatta and it's just by accumulations. Another yoke.
Otherwise, Buddha wouldn't teach about yoke.
It all comes back to this moment and the citta now. If they're thinking now about another place or another kind of conversation or not saying this word or being somewhere else, then it's yoke.
So, in my case, when I wake up, I have moments of sati on my bed, but that kind of sati doesn't mean anything.
Because what about the clinging?
Clinging.
Why do you say that at moment? At that moment there
because
is no
I'm not doing anything. It's very different from engaging in daily activity.
No understanding.
Yeah.
People always expect to have sati.
So that kind of expectation or idea that when one is not doing anything, one would have more satya, is a very idea which hinders.
Wrong understanding. You stop the progress of right understanding, limited by such idea.
It's just like the idea of meditation, that sitting in a certain way at a certain time, so it can be more sati.
But yeah, it's locked.
So yesterday you said that citta is very pure, yeah?
Citta itself.
Oh, itself. And
because it can experience an object only then.
Yeah, yeah. So in a slightly different sense, we can say that panya is very pure, meaning that it's not something we can induce.
No, we have to understand pure in what sense.
Pure because it arises by itself.
And it can just experience only. Mm-hmm. It cannot like or dislike or understand at all.
Okay, it doesn't select any object. It doesn't select any time.
Its function is to experience. And it's the chief too. Without it, no attachment, no aversion can arise. What experiences different colors to be different trees, sound.
What experience these things?
What? How is it known that this is tree or what kind of sound? Thinking with Sanya marking each visible object, each sound, otherwise no idea of vitaka. Mm-hmm. Even at the moment of seeing, there must be Sanya marking each.
At moment of remembering who's who, what performs the function of knowing who's who, not citta, but citta is that which experiences the object so clearly that the cetasikas with it can perform the functions. Each different function.
Panya can mark, vitaka can think.
Well, panya, I think it's okay. But suppose you're a boss, yeah, in a working environment, yeah? If you do not trust your subordinate, yeah? Your subordinate doesn't work so much, yeah? But if you trust your subordinates, yeah? they work very hard, yeah? But I want to say that if there is a more trust in panya, yeah? Panya itself, yeah? Then panya may arise rather than trying to
have
control
it
or induce.
Is a condition for it not to arise.
Yeah. And it would,
not
its
letting
own.
It
yeah,
just
yeah,
perform its
yeah,
duty.
Yeah.
Mm. You trust Panya to do its job.
Okay. So it's not my Panya. It's not Tadao's Panya. It's just Panya.
Yeah.
Nothing but Panya.
Yeah.
So what is Tadao?
Oh, I think it's here, but it's wrong. Panya would eventually know that there is no such thing as Tadao.
As long as there is no understanding of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, thinking, there is Tadao.
Yeah.
You mentioned before that in the beginning it's bound to be
I-ial, to Tao who study, and later on, right understanding understands no I, no to Tao. And then people often say, oh, well, it's that if there wasn't that wrong idea of I or to Tao studying, there wouldn't have been the studying in the first place. So can one say that the understanding, it's that it's just punya, arises in spite of that the wrong view, or that it may be that it is the wrong view that motivates the study?
And some would say, how can I live?
Yeah.
Because there's no Tao.
Right.
See? No need to worry at all, because there are conditions for each moment of reality to arise.
Life goes on.
Break.
The cut.
Send no more pictures. Yeah, that would be fine. No more pictures.
When there's no more painter.
Yeah, when there's no more painter. When there's true understanding that there's no painter forever.
The painter likes to paint, so there must be paintings.
Yeah, mostly we think about just making it a more beautiful painting, right. Not like getting rid of the painter.
Or special painting.
Yeah, special.
But without skill.
Without skill.
Kusala. It must be ugly paintings. That's why we can see why appearance are different too, from the accumulation of not just only past life, but more and more than that, eons and eons ago.
Appearance, not from
even the animal kingdom, the eyes are different, the shape and form, legs, more or less, or none at all, like snake, no legs. So one can see that citta, jetasika, and accumulation can condition such and such birth, short or long. Ignorance increases every day. Together with attachment and aversion and other unwholesome realities. That's why it takes time, and it's very difficult for panya to really understand whatever appears. Without the teachings, who can imagine that no one invisible object, no thing in it. It arises very shortly, arising and falling away. But the clinging to the appearance of the form and shape, the sign of the arising and falling away of that which arises and falls away so rapidly, no one knows that they are gone all the time. What is left is only the succession, the sign, which is conditioned by the rapidity of the arising and falling away of realities. Just the world of ignorance.
Cindy was just saying that you were talking about the painter painting for next life.
Like last life, the painter painted this life. Who's the painter?
Who's the painter, Cindy?
The I, the self, is the painter.
And Ajahn also mentioned that now we are accumulating more and more ignorance and other forms of kilesa, so
the painting gets uglier and uglier.
And is that a concern? Would that be a concern for you?
To be a good painter? To be a very skillful painter?
How does one become a skillful painter?
One learn the right understanding of reality and to the best is to have no painter.
So it's to develop the understanding that sees dhammas as not self, rather than the idea of having less unwholesomeness in our lives.
And so we think that it's the self that is painting all day and from last life to this life, but actually it's citta.
Kusala or akusala, wholesome or unwholesome.
Kusala, citta, yes.
Are you painting now, Kuntada?
Yes.
What kind of picture?
Guruji, I have my own metaphor. My metaphor is like this. Learning or developing satipatthana is like painting oil paint. Oil paint. Our life is like a Chinese ink paint. Do you see the difference? For using oil, you have to go again and again and again and again. Yeah? That is the nature of our learning or developing satipatthana. Yeah? Life. And in contrast, if you the Chinese calligraphy or Chinese sort of ink drawing, you cannot rectify, you cannot correct any part you've passed even a moment ago, because all the correction appears once the ink dries out. Yeah? So life is Chinese ink painting, because we cannot correct our life which passed a minute ago, even a moment ago. But our practice has to go again and again and again and then. It's nature of satipatthana, I think.
You know. So, you're now Chinese painter?
Yeah.
Or everyone?
If all the sort of moments which have gone, are gone. We cannot do anything with it. Yeah.
Nothing can be erased.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's clear to you, Upanisya Kojara, Araka Kojara, Upanibanda Kojara.
And we can say that the Gotra, because it's the Buddha's Gotra, can only be reality, which is object of understanding or object of what is liked or not liked, whereas Aramana can be any object, reality or concept. I think this is the distinction.
Because the term Buddha can be used for Sammasambuddho, Paccekabuddho, and Savaka or Anu Buddha.
Excuse me, what is Anu Buddha?
This disciples.
Oh, so we are Anu Buddha.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Oh, would you like to be the Sammasambuddho?
No, I'm not going to. I will never become a Sammasambuddha.
Too long.
I will become a Paccekabuddha. No doubt.
You have to accumulate parami more than savaka.
Why Paccekabuddha?
It's my nature.
What about now Anu Buddha?
Anubuddha.
Okay.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I appreciate to be Anubuddha, because when I think about my upbringing, I've never thought about that. Even in sometime in my future, I'll be like studying Dhamma like this. Yeah.
Just the intellectual understanding is so very difficult to really understand. Mm. One has to be so very truthful.
Mm. I think what the point of what you've been saying again and again is developing satyampanya of this moment. Which means that there is no self and no wrong view. Whenever there is a wrong view, you're never able to see a reality as a unreality. So when reality appears as a reality, there is no self. When there is no self, reality may appear as it is. What's your comment?
What's your last one? When there is no self.
When there is no self. When there is a moment of non-self, then reality appears as a reality. I mean that reality appears in a sort of clear manner.
Only if there's panya. So there can be non-self without panya.
Okay. So panya is more important. Thank you.
I mean there can be an understanding of non-self without panya. There's always no self. There's always anatta. There's always no self. Right? So.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But sometimes there's some level of understanding of anatta, but not to the level of panya.
What is different?
Anyway, that's too delicate. I'm a long way from there, so it doesn't really matter.
We call it panya, but it means right understanding, yeah. The same thing.
Yeah.
If there's any real understanding of no self, it would be a level of panya.
Yeah.
What do you mean by a level of panya?
Weak. It would have to be at least weak panya.
Mm. Pariyatti?
Weak.
Again, please.
On the hot seat.
Yeah. If there's any real understanding of no self, it would be.
What do you mean by real?
I mean that we can agree that there is no self, but that's just intellectual sort of theorizing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if there's any actual understanding of no self, it would have to be only panya can actually understand no self.
And can the intellectual understanding be panya too? Otherwise, there is no intellectual understanding at all.
It can be.
But
the intellectual understanding is not just
reading.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Listening.
It has to be understanding, the real one.
So the biggest hindrance for the development of panya or satipanya is the idea that these things can be induced by certain manner. Can we say that?
Induced.
Having
made to happen.
Having more satipanya. With the idea that if we do such and such things, if we are in such and such environment, these sati and panya arise more often.
Wrong understanding, wrong concentration, wrong effort, wrong vitaka.
Would you say panya is same as just pure awareness?
Pure
meaning no concept. Conceptless awareness.
At any moment of kusala, there is awareness of that degree. But it's not the degree of understanding directly what appears now.
We understand awareness to be a mental factor that arises with all kusala moments. But you're using it in a different.
Mm-hmm. Is there awareness now at moment of intellectual understanding?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Because it's different from moment without understanding.
Right.
So getting back to the conversation we were having at the tea break, if there is awareness of the moment of kusala, then that is the development of kusala. If there's awareness of the moment of kusala when it arises.
The awareness itself is the development of the kusala.
Not just the awareness that arises with each moment of kusala, but if there is the awareness that knows moment of kusala as moment of kusala.
Or just a reality.
Or just any reality.
Mm-hmm.
But we were talking about a particular situation.
For instance, we use the word awareness, but does it appear as object? See? It's still the thinking about it. There's right understanding, but is right understanding now be the object of awareness and right understanding as it is? This is the difference between intellectual understanding and direct in understanding.
Because right understanding has a characteristic also. Does seeing and visible object, all dhammas have a characteristic.
Does hardness now appear?
Pardon?
Does hardness now appear?
Hardness.
Yeah.
Now appear. The sense of hardness.
Is that
here?
We might say in conventional language the feeling of hardness.
Mm-hmm. A feeling.
Is there any feeling of hardness, for example, where part of your body touches the table or the seat?
This table is hard.
No understanding of that hardness because there is still the idea of this table. See, that's why we learn to see the difference thinking about it as hardness or directly experiencing it or with or without understanding because it's experience. It's the object of that which can experience it, but no understanding as not self or not table. Or when there is awareness, it's different from moment when there is no understanding and taking it for table of thing. Object is the same, but it depends on right understanding with awareness, which appear as no I who is aware of that hardness. That is natural or the Upanibandha Gojara.
Kusala citta, right?
It can arise with a kusala as well. Yeah.
Even its right effort.
No, then it's
right effort.
Right effort has to be kusala.
Yeah.
Is there now?
Came up and went away really fast.
thinking about it. That's why it is intellectual understanding,
yeah.
And it's only just thinking.
Can you explain more about beyond the intellectual understanding of right effort?
When there's right understanding and right awareness.
Often in the conventional language, we think of effort in practice, a certain kind of practice.
This
is sort of coming on from what Tadao was talking about. Well, there's really nothing. It's so easy to misunderstand and think we have to do this or do that and so forth. So I would ask you to speak on this. Since
usually when there is no right understanding, there cannot be right awareness.
Yes, and I
was so thinking. From hearing, considering, there can be right understanding intellectually. intellectual understanding, which will condition moment of being aware of a reality with right understanding.
And right effort
goes with it.
It goes with it.
Mm-hmm. Together, in a moment. No need to do anything.
Mm.
It's already there by conditions. That's why one learns to know that there is no self.
So the only conditioning, one would say, in conventional language, that we can do, even though there's no self, is just to pay attention to the moment, develop more awareness.
Non-self.
More awareness of non-self.
Mm-hmm.
No, nothing more particular than that.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever we are, whatever we're doing.
Whatever is the object can be object of ignorance or object of right understanding with right awareness. Mm. But the object is exactly the same.
I'm still looking for the shortcut. You know? A little step ladder. You know, my knee's bad. I want to kind of get up there a bit faster. No way. In a way, it's very good to know there's no special practice, that it's just here and now. Take it anywhere, wherever.
Otherwise, it hinders instantly. Mm. But I cannot do anything because it's locked up.
Yeah.
When you mentioned yesterday that you thought that meditation or a practice may be useful for some people, even though you weren't interested yourself, what did you mean by maybe useful for some people?
One could only take on, literally what a friend, an acquaintance, someone has said about their growth, their personal growth, their development of understanding of reality. And sometimes they used a very similar language to Abhidhamma and sometimes other vocabulary, so it's very imprecise. But it appears to me that over my lifetime I have met some people who seem to have benefited by what they call a meditation practice. That's all I mean, you know. But I have no way of knowing how further how much their understanding of reality has been furthered by that.
Can I ask you what you mean by personal growth?
Yeah, it's a very vague term. It's just that they, you know, they talk about, you know, how they've changed and so forth and so on.
But
and they seem to be more accepting of the impermanence.
But they do not talk about right understanding
at
all.
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they use
what?
Yeah.
Like what?
Like the vocabulary.
It's only thinking.
Perhaps. I don't know. All I'm saying is that
otherwise, they can see the difference level of understanding. And Panya knows whether it's intellectual or direct understanding.
Well, I don't know if they have Panya or not, but they seem to feel that they have more understanding of the anicca anatta, and
by words.
Of dhammas.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically of dhammas.
Who has this understanding?
Who? I mean, come on. It's conventional language. I don't often... sometimes, depending on the situation. And
do they talk about seeing right now, not permanent?
Sometimes, because often I would
bring up
something
like that.
So there
must be the way to understand directly how.
Well, they seem to think, a couple of people I think of in my histories.
If the way is not right.
Seem to think that it furthered them on that path of seeing, that seeing can only experience in an object through the eye door.
That is thinking or... They know the way, the path, because in Tipitaka there are both the right Eightfold Path and the wrong Eightfold Path.
Well, I don't know what it was. All I can say is that,
I'm how a little
more accepting of the possibility for others. I don't feel, I have complete confidence in your teaching and the Abhidharma, but that's all.
Like many people, they just
they're not here to defend themselves in any form, you know, or answer more questions. So that's a bit unfair, then I think, to those individuals, some of whom are passed away already.
We're not talking about individuals anyway. We're just basically talking about understanding.
Well, you know, I'm not a pro meditator. I never encourage anybody to go for meditation.
Yes, but the question is whether following a particular practice, which is called meditation, whether it can ever be lead to the development of right understanding when there is the ideas Tadao was talking about, another place or a particular time, like he mentioned, lying on the bed, or a particular situation that it seems to be more suitable. Because if there is this idea, no matter what language is used, it is the idea of I practicing or following. Otherwise, yes, otherwise one wouldn't follow that practice.
That's why it depends on one's own understanding to know directly absolutely. Who has the it wrong and path or the right it for path.
So when there's firm understanding of reality now, one knows it is the only way, then there's no thought or idea of some other place or some other practice. So if someone says some other practice is helpful, one knows if it's not just the practice as the understanding of present reality, it cannot be right path or right practice.
What I could accept is that they could genuinely believe they have benefited from practice. And if they have talk about seeing invisible objects, for example, it may be that they have focused on seeing or visible object as an object of contemplation or whatever, and it would be easy to get the idea that one had a better understanding of it by doing that. But unless you sort of discussed further with a person, you wouldn't really know.
And one must have understanding about the path. Otherwise, one cannot tell whether that is right or wrong.
But at least we can say that if one practice sitting meditation in a right way, in the right way, mean that it's a development of, just development of samatha, concentration.
What about the wrong way?
Just
what is the wrong way?
Full of attachment.
Is there no attachment then?
At so moment it's what I'm saying. Like the Buddha's time, there are many monks who were able to, who are capable of developing jhanas, And they practice sort of meditation. They must have practiced this meditation in the right manner.
Is there clear comprehension about what you call jhana?
I don't know.
We don't know. So no measurement at all to see whether that's right or wrong. But if one knows, no doubt about that at all.
I don't know, because I practice meditation only 8 hours in my whole life.
What about all that time lying on the bed?
That is not meditation. I'm just relaxing.
With a better opportunity.
Why should I do it to lie? Oh, I have to go to school.
My favorite thing to do is relaxing
with
Sati.
Me and my sati.
Taking my sati to bed with me.
You call it sati. While the reality of sati doesn't appear to be known, that is sati.
The point is that the more, the firmer the understanding is, the less swayed one is by the idea of any practice or path being possible that is other than just understanding reality now, no matter the circumstances. And when it's satchinyana, when it's really firm, there's no idea of place or position or time or meditation.
So I'm saying that everything comes back to this moment.
Moment, exactly.
The monks who developed a samatha to high degrees in the Buddhist time, were they doing a sitting practice?
Yeah, I think so.
Standing.
When they do the jhana.
Standing.
I don't know.
Walking, lying, or only sitting?
I don't know. because...
what about Sariputta fanning the Buddha?
But I don't know whether it's possible to experience jhana doing all this, engaging in the time, engaging all these activities or not.
So first of all, what is jhana?
To me, it means some kind of higher level concentration, concentration of very high level.
With or without panya?
It must be, because suppose that it's a if it's a jhana, then ashima that is
so
accompanied by
what
right understanding, a level of right understanding, and it's with kusala chittas.
So what level of panya is there?
Just a level of panya which know how to have sort of jhana moments which are away from experiencing all these sensuous sort of object.
Why did the people in Buddha's time develop jhana? Why?
I think it's part of their sort of daily life, those who accumulate.
Without panya?
They have panya.
So panya at that moment knows what?
So there
talking
is a...
Talking about before jhana is attained, so developing samatha.
What does it mean? What is it? Developing samatha? What
so
is that?
Level of panya which knows how to develop samatha.
What is samatha?
What do you mean by how to develop samatha?
I really do not know. You see, I'm never interested in jhana or samatha.
Why not interested in samatha?
But I assume that when I read the text there are some monks who are always...
Is there samatha now?
I do not know, because I... don't ask me, okay?
So it's speculation.
Oh. Because it's not my interest at all. But when I read...
So no idea.
When I read...
But right understanding can understand everything. Or anything. So at that moment, when there is the development of samatha, what motivates that?
I think it's sort of someone's accumulation. Meaning that at Buddha's time, they live, many of them live in a very simple life, living in a forest or some very sort of secluded life. And one way of spending their time is developing jhana or developing samatha. It's part of their life and also part of their accumulation, is my understanding.
Can anyone who doesn't know anything about jhana or samatha develop it?
No, I don't think so.
So there must be the understanding of real samatha. So that it can develop. Okay. So what is samatha?
I don't know.
So we
it's a wholesome, wholesome chitta. At least it has to be wholesome.
Okay, what chitta seeker is it? Samatha.
I don't know. I don't know.
So you don't know what jhana is?
Oh, yeah, it's not my concern.
You don't know what jhana is?
I somehow speculated that it's a very higher level of concentration.
Concentration is not right understanding.
Samatha is pasati chaita seeker, calm. So that's why when I asked if it's samatha now, so if it's kusala moment now, for example, moment of giving, or moment of metta, or moment of understanding now, there is samatha, there is calm at that moment. And when there's understanding, it can develop. So if it's the development of samatha without right understanding of reality, it's development of calm, but no understanding of reality as not self. But at this moment, there can be understanding with calm, which begins to understand reality is not self.
Okay,
that's
just
part of the
just focus on some monks who have attained arahatship,
Samadhi is part of the Eightfold Path, not samadhi.
Okay, just think that certain monks, there are a group of monks, there is a monk who has attained arahatship, yeah, and he has a strong accumulation of developing samatha, yeah, or jhana, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then he develops it, and he knows that it's just a sort of, in a sense, his way of spending his daily life, part of his daily life.
That's what we think.
I think.
To me, I'm not satisfied by just hearing any word without understanding more and more and better and better about that word.
Mm.
Otherwise, it's my own thinking about that, which it's not like what Buddha taught at all. That's why I have the Buddhang Saranangacchami and also Dhammang Saranangacchami. Otherwise, just not understanding reality and think by oneself, we have wrong idea.
No, so I said that. I'm just imagining a monk who has attained. So arahat, okay. Talking about arahat.
You talk about arahat.
He knows everything, okay. He knows everything, okay. Reality is reality. No self, okay. He has attained arahat. That's the arahat.
Maybe. No idea of a monk developing anything, right?
No, no. He developing a jhana. Also, he's sitting, two or 3 hours. It's a part of his daily life. Yeah, and he knows that. It's just a type of one. Sort of.
I can understand why you would say you're not interested in attaining jhana.
Oh, not at all. It's a,
what I don't understand is why you say you're not interested in developing samatha. Because samatha is a kind of kusala.
Yeah, I'm here saying, here samatha, I'm referring to sort of sitting meditation.
Development of samatha isn't sitting meditation.
Okay, so it's my wrong choice of word. Okay, that's right. It. Okay, don't jump on me. I'm not on the hot seat. Okay.
What do you mean by wrong choice?
I choose the wrong word. Samatha, I meant sort of sitting meditation.
So, how do you say that sitting meditation is samatha?
I don't know.
See?
No, I use the wrong word.
So I'm not satisfied with the word that I do not really understand. Just follow. It's not my way. Because I know that Buddha taught about everything. So I depend on him and his teachings to understand whatever use or thing about. And I know that from birth up to the time when there is no studying of the teachings at all, we use or say, speak the word that we do not understand at all. Like the world, see? No understanding. Kusala, no understanding. Attachment, asava, oka, yoga, no understanding. But there can be the very, very clear explanation of anything in the world for the benefit of those not to go wrong.
To be honest, it's not just with Buddhism. With any science, you do the same thing. You have to make many times very precise.
You can't just use terms without. Like in your hypothesis, each word has to be very clearly defined. And so sitting meditation can mean anything. Yeah.
So what is that? See, I don't use that word if I don't understand it.
I want to use the term samatha again.
But if you use that word, it means that you understand what it is.
Yeah.
You have an idea that is sitting meditation is samatha.
Can panya be limited to only sitting?
I don't think so.
Can calmness be limited to only sitting?
No.
So, why sitting meditation?
I'm saying some of them have.
I don't mind who they are at all. I mind just what the Buddha taught.
But when we read Suttanta, then.
Taught by Buddha.
Taught by the Buddha, he sometimes explains how to develop certain level of jhana, to.
So
certain groups.
That's why we should understand the way, not just believe.
To those who have accumulation for that kind of practice.
Or they take sitting position without any understanding, which is wrong. No understanding. is different from understanding.
No. Buddha, the Buddha has very clear understanding that those monks didn't have any misunderstanding. Okay? Yeah. And those who read the text may interpret in different manners because of his wrong understanding.
That's why there should be the studying of the teachings carefully.
Did the Buddha teach how to develop jhana, or did he teach the development of understanding to monks who were developing jhana also?
I don't think he encouraged monks to develop jhana just for the sake of attaining jhana. He taught the monks to see all the realities associated with the processing of developing jhana.
So he taught development of understanding.
Yeah.
Did he teach about sitting position?
I do not know.
Study. So
because no video.
Yeah, but...
I cannot see.
So we don't use sitting position because we don't know what it is.
Yeah.
He makes reference to sitting position, of course, but...
Yeah.
He does.
He does. But in describing certain situations, not in recommending or... not in the context of how the path is developed. Generally.
And that's how it's been taken by other teachers, other traditions, that misunderstanding that he didn't really add on to that this is necessary for real understanding. They just assumed
jhana were widely
practiced anyway.
Attained
in
that time.
What about Sariputta fanning again? See?
Like if someone described us now, they would say, oh, they're sitting while they're discussing Dharma and understanding reality. And someone might think then to understand reality, they have to be sitting. But it's just a description of... Yeah.
Or they'll say they're paying very close attention.
Yeah.
But it's not something... to do, it's just a description of what's happening.
Like they say, oh, the forests, the monks have gone to the forest, so people think it means you must go to the forest, but where do the monks live anyway? Where are they dwelling anyway? So it's not saying everyone must go to the forest.
And how many objects of samatha development? Is their sitting position included? So does one have Buddha as refuge? This is the way to be away from wrong understanding, when there's right understanding taught by the Buddha about everything, even samatha. Not just anybody use this term. No understanding at all. Just follow the method.
On TV here, I saw a program by Dhammakaya Kaya. And calm, empty, bright, clear.
Crystal.
Yeah, that's a pure... development of pure attachment.
That's not the teaching.
Yeah.
That's not the teachings of the Buddha. No. Not to understand. It's not the teachings.
No, I can see that. At least I can see that. This is not Buddhism.
Even sitting position or sitting is not included in the object of samatha at all. And there must be reason for each object.
But I assume that that is a very much a general sort of notion of practice conceived by many ties, or not only ties.
I think that the whole world.
Yeah, yeah, very much like that. Sabai, sabai, bride, bride.
Who follows, see? Yeah, yeah. The one who doesn't study the teachings.
Yeah.
When there's a sitting position,
mm-hmm.
it means that they have no understanding of right understanding at all.
Okay, I know what you're saying. But you are saying that it's just realities. Sitting position, standing, it's just concept.
Is the body? Is the body?
Mm. No, there's a notion of body, but which we cannot perceive in any direct manner.
That's why there should be the understanding of the absolute reality, which is not a body. So what about sitting, meditation, no understanding of what sits? Even in the Buddha's time, not all came to see him. Only those who have accumulation. So where are those people who didn't come to see Buddha at that time? Not Arahata, not Parinibbana. So where are they? People who follow the wrong teachings.
Yesterday, maybe yesterday, you said that those who were able to listen to Buddha's teaching at that time are much purer than those who are living in this world now.
Who knows?
Eh?
Who knows?
No. Somehow you say that it's more fortunate. They must have a very fair amount of kusala so that they could actually live in that time period and were able to listen to Buddha's Dhamma. So it means that they had some kind of special sort of accumulations. How do you say? Punya.
Otherwise, a punya cannot condition right understanding.
Can we say they are rather special, mean that ordinary people.
See how many people in this world study the teachings and have Buddha as refuge. They have some other person.
Okay.
As a refuge.
Yeah. But what I would like to ask is, probably those who are actually able to listen to Buddha's teaching from his mouth must have accumulated, must done meritorious deeds by which they could have that kind of opportunity. So in that sense, they are special.
Right.
At least I've accumulated enough.
Yeah.
Punya.
Otherwise,
so that I could listen to this time.
You wouldn't be here.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, okay.
You follow the sitting position.
I'm Buddha. Good.
So we can say, or we can see that those who come to listen to the teachings of the Buddha are those who have accumulated kusala enough.
But there is one thing which I'm afraid of, because in one of the suttas, Buddha said that some of them do not understand, or they seem to be understand what he has said, but when the Buddha finished his talk, then all these upasaka or upasika or bhikkhus, they just leave the place, without gaining anything, without developing insight. It's almost like somebody putting sort of small diamonds on a lap, and when he stands up, everything sort of fall apart, falls down. It's the same. We think that when we listen to you or whatever, when we read the Dharma or text, then we think that we've gained something. But when finish that kind of activity, then there is no enough
pick
concentration.
Up some.
Just forget.
Pick up
just,
some.
Just so when I leave the foundation, just put, I see sort of some vendors selling tasty
that's
food.
That's why you will not be pamad, because
yeah,
you see the danger of not hearing more.
But also, it's not selfish, which induce to try to keep thinking about the Dhamma. It's if we sort of force ourselves to just think Dhamma. Yeah, it's again, it's self, isn't it? Mm. Mm.